Blog Talk Radio.
Can y'all believe that we are already into 2019? This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and I, for one, cannot believe that. I remember thinking back when I was a teenager, and I would go, well, in 1970, I'll be this old. In 1980, I'll be this old. In 1990, I'll be this old. Well, here it is, 2019, and I'm 67. I don't know where those years went. I'll soon be attending my 50th high school reunion. I haven't been back to that place in 50 years. So grab what you got. Make today the best day of your life. No matter what trials or tribulations you're going through, make today the best day of your life. And with that, I want to welcome each and every one of you to the show. This is not my show. It's your show. You all, the listener, the guest, that keep coming back and keep saying, Yvonne, I want to come back on the show. I don't know why I mistreat them so bad. Not really. They love me. So, but there's two ways, ladies and gentlemen. As you all know, we have a listening base of over 200,000 listeners in over 200 countries. Well, now we're up to 250,000. We have almost 137,000 listeners just on this show. On any given day, someone is downloading the shows, listening to the shows, passing the shows along, sharing the shows, sending me people. I have musicians musical artist, indie artist who are winning awards like Country Music Artist of the Year, Country Music Artist of the Year in magazines. I mean, it's phenomenal. I am just so proud. In fact, Cherish Lee, who has been on this show back during Christmas, wrote the theme song for Going Home for Christmas, which was directed and produced by Blake Shelton. Cherish Lee is an independent country artist. Check her out. And with that being said, there's two ways to get on this show. One, come on as a guest, because we have lots of fun. Two, you can become a sponsor for the show, and I do not want to get rich off of anyone, so I only charge $10 for 30 days. No matter how many shows I run, it's $10. If I run 10 shows or 30 shows, it's $10 for 30 days. You're heard all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever it is, you're heard. Contact me at offthechainradio@yahoo.com or contact me on my Facebook page. I'll tell you how it works. It's simple. And with that, I want to welcome Dirt Road Sunset. They were on the show back before Christmas. Their songs are available on iTunes, Reverb Nation, Amazon, CD Baby, and all the proceeds, ladies and gentlemen, from these songs go to support breast cancer, Children's Hospital, Disabled American Veterans, and CERT, training of canine search and rescue and service dogs. These guys live in, the mountains of Pennsylvania. They've been friends for over 40 years. George, Sandy, Dave, and Ed, Dirt Road Sunset. Check them out. Now, those of you who know Traveler Pelton, she's been on this show. She will be on the show again next Wednesday night. She has just released her 8th book called The Importance of Family, and it came out at the end of December. She is back with all the political intrigue, hard science fiction, and adventure that her fans have come to expect. In Book 8 of the Generations of the Oberlin Family Chronicles, Noah, Violet, Kai, Zanya, Jasmine, Scott, Gabriel, and Katrana and their families chase through the world, pitting their family resources, intellect, and espionage network against the Brotherhood, erecting protective domes all over their safe houses and laboratories as they are labeled traitors and the military is sent to take them into custody. As the planet's plant life dies from the sickened water, the mutations spread throughout the animal kingdom. The Oberlins are made the scapegoats for all the world's problems. When Micah and Alexander are kidnapped, Noel has to call in to help from all the worldwide family to bring them home. As the family worldwide retreat to the domes, they wonder if they will hold through military bombardment. Will the Earth survive, or has the destruction of the environment and the population plummet gone too far to recover? Will only the people of the domes make it to the next millennium? This book and all of Traveler's books are available on Amazon. All you have to do is type in J. Traveler Pelton. You will be taken to her page. Have a look, then download some for yourself to enjoy in all those cold, dark, and long winter evenings when you just want to stay in. Also, leave a review. We as indie authors, we love reviews. Good, bad, and different. We just love to know that people care enough to read our work and comment on it, even if they hate it. You can also visit her on her webpage, travelerpelton.com. And y'all all might also remember Diane Moat. She's been with me since almost the beginning. The third book in her Sam Holden series has been released. And in Dog Bones, Sam's quest to avenge abused animals is threatened when the FBI comes after her on one side and the commissioner wants her dead on the other. Will her double life be exposed? Will she be able to protect the animals, her friends, and herself? Check out Dog Bones by Diane Moat everywhere ebooks are sold. And if you haven't started the series yet, ladies and gentlemen, start with Dog Gone by Diane Moat. And that leads me up to tonight's guest, who has been on this show before. And when she was on this show the first time, she had just released her first book. Now, this woman has gone writing crazy. Author Lark Griffin likes to bring her sense of adventures to her writing. Her first two novels are young adult, The Last Time I Checked, I Was Still Here, a coming-of-age story, and The Starfish Talisman, an old-fashioned ghost story. Dog on the Doorstep is Lark's collection of short stories and flash fiction for the holiday season about hope and the love of pets. She is also a contributor to the short story anthology 12 Tales of Telling. Is that like 12 Geese of Land? I don't know. A modern twist on the holiday Aha! A modern day twist on the holiday classic. Teardrops and Rest Stops is the second novel. Teardrops and Rest Stops is the second novel. And the first novel is Teardrops and Flip Flops. I don't know how that got twisted up. Teardrops and Flip Flops is the first novel. Teardrops and Rest Stops is the second novel. And it, Lark collects hobbies like people collect friends. When not writing and teaching, she is hiking, kayaking, scuba diving, camping, and enjoying life to the fullest with her family. She is married to a wonderful man. She has two sons, and she also shares her home with a precocious golden doodle named Maggie, who really believes that she is the queen of the house, and a tabby named Dickens. And Lark, I am so sorry. My tongue got twisted, and I could not get your two novels out. We were talking about both of them, and just whammo, they just decided they were going to fight for front billing. I don't know what happened.
Welcome to the worries. No worries. It happens to me all the time. It'll happen tonight.
So we just go with it, just because we can.
That's right.
Now, you work a full-time job, and as a teacher, how in the world have you been able to do all these wonderful things that you do? You scuba dive, you camp, you hike, you teach, and then the voices in your head won't shut up. How do you do this?
Well, first of all, I have my husband and my boys. They're supportive, and they get it. My youngest is still at home. My oldest is off and married. But they know, like, mom's got to write. My husband's like, you know, I'll take care of stuff while you write. I write a lot in the front seat of the truck. We don't stay home. We're always on the go. And so sometimes we're traveling. I've got my laptop and I'm writing while my poor husband just keeps driving. And everything else. I'm a Boy Scout leader, and I'm committed to those boys and what we do and how we can, you know, nurture them and help them become young men. But yeah, the voices in my head are there all the time. I wake up in the middle of the night and they're talking to me, but I just have to compartmentalize and go, okay, today is this and today is this. And I try to make time for writing as much as possible. And to be honest, as a teacher, the blessed summers in between, like any professional development I'm doing, I'm writing and traveling and playing and all of that.
But sadly, the teacher summers here in Florida get shorter and shorter.
Yeah, same here. See, I can't figure out why this is happening, but we used to have 3 months, and that doesn't. We started this year, I think August, like 11th, or something.
Oh my word!
Like, yeah. Now we'll get out right at Memorial Day, but still, it's yeah. But I can't complain. I love my job. I do.
You must. I tell you, yeah. I would have loved to have had you for a teacher, because I bet you are a fun teacher.
Oh, thanks. I'll be honest, as January starts rolling around, I'm like, okay, I have 85 more days till summer. Not teaching days. It's January. So, yeah. I've got that all figured out.
So let's just jump right into this, because I went back and I looked at the books that you have written. And the last time you were on the show, you only ended two books, I think. Maybe just the one.
Yeah, I was getting ready to release, I think, The Starfish Talisman. It was done, and it was probably being edited, or I had just gotten it done, and we were hitting release, I think, for that. But yeah.
Well, let's go back in time, and let's bring folks up to speed about The Starfish mm-hmm. Talisman, because that is just a good old-fashioned ghost story that young adults will love.
That was really fun to write. I grew up with stories from my mom and my grandmother about things that they experienced or remembered. In the story, it talks about wolves under the dining room table. the main character is warned by the cook, who the cook is wonderful, and she keeps saying, "Be careful because of the wolves under the dining room table in this house." Well, my mother used to see when she was a child wolves under her. She was terrified of them.
Whoa.
She could see their eyes. The story basically is about a young lady whose mother has to go overseas to do a job, and so the young lady Regan has to stay at her Aunt Willow's home on the coast of Maine, and she never remember meeting Willow. Willow is her dead father's sister. They live in this ancient house, which it turns out is haunted. And the cook will tell you about that constantly, about, you know, be careful, don't go on the fourth floor. The fourth floor is locked, and there are, you know, don't ever open that door. Well, Regan doesn't believe in any of that stuff, and she tells them, this is ridiculous. There's no such thing. I don't believe in it. Well, at one point, something really bad happens to her under that dining room table, and she ends up bleeding. And then there's a young man she meets down on the coast, and while she's talking to him, she gets attacked by seagulls, and all these things start happening that don't make sense. So, and it's just, it was so much fun to write. It's just like, what else can I just make up?
What else can I make happen to this young girl?
Yeah, and it does. It does. So,
now, and also you wrote, the last time I checked, I was still here. And before we went live, I told you I went and I read the first part of the first chapter. And while it starts off kind of bullying and dark, there are life's lessons, and it takes the reader in a completely different direction than the reader thinks it's going.
And kind of gallops along. This book reminds me of a kind of a slow, lazy drift down a river. It's introspective. This girl has had it. Her mom has passed away. Her father is grieving, and has been grieving for years, by the way, and kind of not ignores her, but forgets that this young lady needs support. And they move a lot, and she's been teased at school to the point where she's had it. So she uses her resources and buys herself a Greyhound bus ticket to go home to her Nana, who, when her mom passed away, her Nana helped take care of her and help her get over that grief as a child. So she runs to Nana, and while she's there, she just starts to discover who her mom was. She finds her mom's backpacking gear, and this is in the mountains of New Hampshire, and she makes a friend, and the friends are nice, and she's a little hesitant about these nice kids, but she discovers that there are people who do nurture and who do care, and they taught her how to hike and how to backpack and how to, you know, find that space, which is what her mom used to do. And so she got all her mom's backpacking gear and started exploring the mountains of New Hampshire with her friends. The only thing is, she tends to be a little impulsive, as we can tell, because she ran away in the first place, and she made some impulsive decisions because she was unhappy, upset with her dad, and in a typical teenager fashion kind of went stomping off into the woods, which wasn't a really good choice. And then there's also another character in there, a young man who, as a child, as a young man, little brother was killed, and he felt that he should have saved his little brother, and he didn't. And he's an Eagle Scout, and he feels that weight of responsibility because he's supposed to be protective. And so his demons are always there, and he tries to get rid of them by hiking, by getting out into the woods, which helps some, but you can't run away from your demons. I mean, you can't. You have to face them.
Right.
And they come together because of an event, and it kind of resolves itself. Although every one of my readers is like, wait, I want more, and I haven't written that. Like, okay, I'm done with those two, but they want some more. But that's one of those sort of like slow summer meanders. She learns how to set up tents, and I mean, there's a lot. If you don't know how to camp and backpack, you can learn from this book, because I pretty much share how to do that and how to cook and stuff like that. But it was a fun, that one I had to write. That one was like, when I was a kid, that's all I wanted to do. Was not that my parents were, I didn't want to run away from my parents, but I wanted to run away to the woods. I wanted to backpack the Appalachian Trail so badly. That was my dream. Well,
and you did part. You did do that, did you not?
I haven't through hiked. I've only hiked tiny sections of it. But you know, one day the knees are old. But we still, my husband and I still talk about it. Although now we're talking about maybe doing part of the Camino de Santiago in Spain, because it's a little more, a little more civil, not so out in the rocky mountain, or the East Coast,
right,
with the mountains and the rocks. And yeah, but I still backpack. I take those Boy Scouts out, but not, we haven't done the long, long distances. My body hasn't been able to do that lately. But we'll get there.
I understand that. In fact, when my son was young, he was in the Cub Scouts,
mm-hmm,
and they also race bicycles. So we did a lot of camping and cooking over an open fire. And
mm-hmm,
the mantra is, whatever I can cook in my oven and on my stove, I can cook over an open fire.
Yep.
I cook biscuits, cook eggs, I cook steaks, I cook potatoes. Whatever I can cook in my stove, I can cook over a fire.
That's exactly right. And in fact, in the one we'll get to talking about, teardrops and flip-flops, Ruby, that's one of her things, is she cooks when she's camping. So,
let's just go right to that one, because before, ladies and gentlemen, before the show went live, we were discussing teardrops and flip-flops, and I was reading the synopsis, and I had to read it twice because it was so funny and so true to life. And so this happens all the time that I had to read it again. So tell folks what people don't know what a teardrop is. It's not tears running down your cheeks, so it could be. But it's actually something else. So tell the folks about teardrops and why you call it teardrops and flip-flops.
Okay, so a teardrop is teardrop trailer. And teardrop trailers came about many, 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 many years ago, after the war, when we had a surplus of aluminum because airplanes were being decommissioned, and people wanted to travel, but they, you know, didn't have a lot of money, so they built these little tiny trailers that are a teardrop shape. And now, you know, when we first built ours, you didn't see them very often, but now you'll see these little teardrop trailers on the road a lot. And so it, basically the idea of a teardrop is that, like a hatchback, you lift it up, and it stays up, and that's your little roof, and your kitchen's in the back. So your kitchen's outside. And then the teardrop, you go in the side door, and you basically, you crawl in, and it's just a bed. I mean, it is a capsule for sleeping. And so I make a real quick story. When I was a little girl, my family camped 2 summers. My dad bought a camper for inside the truck bed, and we went out west and did the Grand Tour 2 years in a row. My family was not the sort of nurturing, we did everything together kind of family. Mostly we did our own thing. My parents were artists, and they were always off being artists. But those 2 summers, we crammed ourselves into this little camper and went out west in the adventure. I never forgot it. And I wanted a camper, which probably started my whole, I want a backpack, I want to do all that. But I never got my camper. And then I was married to another gentleman, and he didn't give me my camper. That's not why we got divorced, I swear. But that didn't work out so well. So I found the most wonderful man and the luckiest woman in the world to have the man that I do. But we backpack together, and we scuba, and we kite. We do all these things. When I mentioned that I wanted a trailer. I wanted like a little Mickey Mouse trailer. And he was like, no. I'm like, wait, what do you mean, no? And he's like, we backpack. We're tough. We're adventuresome. We're extreme. And I'm like, yeah, but I know, but a trailer's cool too. You know, we could go do this stuff with a trailer. We don't have to worry about finding a hotel when we're traveling if we're not camping. No, 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 no. Well, his sister got a really big camper. It was a park model, and they parked it for the whole summer. And we went out and visited, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he goes, you want this, don't you? And I said, no, I don't. I don't want anything that big. I want this little tiny trailer. Now, at the time, I didn't know what a teardrop was. So one night we're laying in bed, and he's looking at something, and he knows better, but he looked at me and he said, hey, what do you think of this? And he showed me on his iPad this little tiny teardrop trailer. And I looked at him, and I'm like, well, you can't stand up in it, can't go to the bathroom in it, all you can do is sleep in it. I'll take it. So, and he made the mistake of saying that we could build it. And one day the poor man came home from work, and there in the driveway was a parts for a frame to start on his making me a trailer. And so we did. So that started the teardrop. And we camped in it, and we've had years of fun in it. So out of the blue, and I always imagine myself as a young adult author. That was my thing. I teach kids. I understand kids. YA was where I was going to go. But one day, out of the blue, I started this story about Ruby and her desire for travel and adventure. But she's married to a man that she loves, and he adores her, but they don't share that adventure. And she's okay with that, and they're married for a while. This isn't a young couple. They're not old, but they've been married for some time. And something tragic happens, and Ruby's got to reevaluate what her life is, but her husband gives her the greatest gift that he could give her, and that's the freedom to be who she is. And it's not a spoiler. He passes away unexpectedly.
Right.
But when he does, when she goes through some papers, she discovers that he had bought her a teardrop because he knew he was ill. And he gave her these, she didn't even know it. She got the phone call to come pick up her trailer, and she's like, he did this. He loves me that much. And now she's on this journey to be who she always wanted to be. And he also told her to find love. Make sure you find love, too. In a letter, he tells her this. Well, enters the dog. There's a stray dog that starts hanging around at a campsite. And she discovers that this dog's name is George, which is her husband's name. And that adventure goes on from there. There's a chance that he might be reincarnated, but we'll let the reader decide that. So that's where this is all about. And it's my first adult. It's a romantic comedy. It's I try to make it as amusing as I can. You're going to cry. You're going to laugh. You're going to be like, you're kidding me. And you're going to learn how to cook over a fire, basically. And that's the adventure. And then Teardrops and Rest Stops, which just went live today, and we're having the release party next Saturday, but it's the continuation from the first one of the continued adventures of Ruby and this dog. And this dog is very, he decides whether a gentleman is acceptable to see Ruby or not. And he does it in a very terrier-like way. If you can imagine what dogs might do if they show their distaste of you. And he does. So... And I love him, and I want him.
We talked about that before the show, ladies and gentlemen. She has little Maggie, who is the queen of the castle. But Maggie doesn't – she thinks she's too good to go hiking and camping and all that backpacking. So now Lark is wanting a dog that will do all those things because – she's had male dogs, if that's what they did. They reveled in it, apparently. They just loved it. And now she's got Maggie, who just absolutely says, no, I'm not getting off of my throne for you.
Yeah, we took her on her first camping trip we took her on, just car camping. She was like, at first, like, this is fun. We're going to be outside. And then when it came time to go for a hike, she didn't. She laid down. And luckily, we had a harness on her, so we didn't hurt her, but we took her for a drag. I mean, she literally snowplowed leaves down the trail until she finally decided that she had to get up and walk. So then she spent the night, and she was just devastated by it. So then we took her backpacking, and she growled all night. There was bear scat in the area, which freaked her out. And we were in the tent. We had a small backpacking tent, and in there, like, we had a three-man tent. And if you know backpacking, most people would think
small.
They're too small for one. So
yeah.
It was, at night we quieted down. It was myself, our youngest son, and my husband, all three in a row, and then Maggie was at our feet laying, long ways. When I woke up in the morning, it was me, Maggie, my husband, and my poor son was at the bottom of the tent laying long ways where that dog was supposed to be. And she never slept. She was just a mess. So she pretty much doesn't come with us so much anymore. All my other dogs, my Malamute, my collie, God, best dog ever created. And my Labrador Retriever, they carried backpacks with my camera gear in it, but not Maggie. She's not interested.
She just wants to stay home on her throne and be waited on.
Exactly. Exactly. And Pat, please pat me. And if you want to read the adventure of Maggie, the book, I did a release of short stories at Thanksgiving called Dog on the Doorstep. And the first couple of stories are about dogs, and they're about dogs, the relationship between people and dogs and the miracle of dogs. But then it segues also then into the story of how Maggie came to be, how we got her. And it was a very special way we got this dog. And then the subsequent learning that Maggie is a prima donna. So there's a whole bunch of short stories about this special girl.
Gotta love Maggie. We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my guest, author Lark Griffin. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm having a ball. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk more about teardrops and flip-flops and teardrops and rest stops. So just stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
You're gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Do you have cougars on your porch swing? Are horses your new best friend? Do your nicest shoes get buried knee-deep in snow as your toes turn blue? Are you bothered by wolves at your woodpile? No, not that kind of wolf. Join wildlife artist and author Nancy Quinn and her family as they discover an exciting new life in Go West, Young Woman. A true Montana adventure. Available online and in bookstores. Or visit QuinnWildlifeArt.com for a personalized signed copy. Critics agree, it's a hoot.
Germany, 1938. Charlotte, a young girl of 15, wanders into Georg's cobbler's shop to have her shoes repaired. Georg, enamored by Charlotte's charm and grace, decides then and there that he's going to marry her. But they must keep their love a secret from family, friends, and, most importantly, the Nazis. Follow along as Georg's pursuit of the young Charlotte results in the couple traveling a heart-stopping, winding route to stay one step ahead of the Gestapo in their escape from Nazi Germany, with a surprising twist along the way. If you like history and romance, don't miss Good Things Always Happen in Springtime by Joanne Fisher. Available at www.joannesbooks.com.
Juliana is a middle-aged housewife in Toronto with a career, a husband that has little interest in her well-being, and three children. In the evenings, she gets on her computer and chats with people around the world. When she gets involved with Aaron and Bobby, her life becomes a pinball, bouncing around her husband, her job, her children, and her two online friends. She's bewitched by the romantic poetry of Aaron, but the honesty and kindness of Bobby bring her all the way to California. Watch for the ironic twist of fate that takes her in a direction she never expected. If you like spicy romances, don't miss With All of Me by Joanne Fisher, available at www.joannesbooks.com.
Fiore is a young Italian woman engaged to be married, but her plans are interrupted by a charismatic Sebastian, a handsome middle-aged Spanish businessman. Her beauty strikes him like a thunderbolt sent by the goddess Venus herself. When she's given a peculiar gift, a Spanish doll, she's thrown into a whirlwind of entangled passion, money, secrets, and love.
Their romance sparks in a charming little Italian town located on the southern part of Lake Garda in northern Italy and takes them around the globe.
What happens when her life is suddenly shattered by a lifelong secret? Her Spanish doll will bring you to a caliente Spain
and a romantic Italy,
adding some spice along the way. Available at www.joannsbooks.com.
And we are back. This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my guest, author Lark Griffin. And we're talking about all kinds of things. As you all know, this show, it takes on its own life form because we don't do a scripted show, and I never know where it's going to wind up. Before we went on break, we were talking about teardrops and rest stops and teardrops and flip-flops. Is there going to be a third in Ruby's Adventures?
Yes, that's the plan. I started writing it, and I'm still, I'm not sure when it's going to be released. It's not galloping along quite as quickly as the other two because I'm bringing in some new characters so that, you know, we might branch off. This whole series is called a Gone to the Dogs Camper Romance series, and so there's a chance that these new characters might launch into something else too. But I will say that my husband and my youngest son and I went to New Orleans after Christmas this year. Never been, not someplace that we had ever thought we'd go, because it's not kind of our thing. But it was interesting. We had fun, and I think the next story, they're going to end up there for a brief bit because there's some fun things that could happen. So.
New Orleans is one of my favorite cities. I'm going in 2 weeks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a city girl, and there were a lot of people.
there are a lot of people. And it's a city that never sleeps.
No, it doesn't. The architecture was just beautiful, and the food. And I love cooking. I'm a foodie, and that I love feeding people, and I love cooking. But I'm kind of finicky. But boy, it was good, and we were
mm-hmm.
lucky. We drove down to Bayou Country, and the crawfish had started coming in, so we were able to do a crawfish boil. Yeah.
Did you eat some
etouffee? My son ordered it, so I ate some of his, and it was very good.
Yeah, it's extremely good.
And in fact, that's on the menu for this next week. I'm going to try to make it myself, and beignets are heavenly, and that's. Also on that might be the plan for tomorrow. Because I love
the coffee, the rich chicory coffee, the Louisiana coffee,
yes.
will just ruin you for any other coffee.
And that is a problem because we bought some of Cafe Du Monde coffee and brought it home, and then I just had to order some more because it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so smooth, and it did kind of ruin it.
So I guess you'll be going back to New Orleans in the Big Easy sometime in the near future for research.
Maybe. I did quite a bit while I was there because I knew that I might want to head into this realm. But like I said, I will be honest with you because I'm much more comfortable in a campfire with a few friends in the wilderness, you know, than I am walking down Bourbon Street the weekend that the New Year's Eve is going to happen and the Sugar Bowl is going to happen. And but it was fun. It was fun.
But see, you were among friends because the Sugar Bowl involved the University of Georgia. I'm from Georgia, and you don't find nicer folks than those Georgia fans. I'm going to tell you, they are a lot of fun.
Well, everybody's having a good time. Oh, I got to see a bride dancing down the street with the band behind her and the music. Oh, the music was really neat. Different than I expected, but there was a young man leaning against a building sitting on the sidewalk playing some Simon and Garfunkel, and he was wonderful. He was so good. I know that's not like New Orleans jazz, but he was really good.
Well, because that's what the street musicians are better than sometimes the musicians that are in the clubs because
that's how they
make their money.
Yeah.
Is
that's
is
one thing
street.
I did see. Yep. that was fun. And the just the sheer joy of people, you know, I mean, it wasn't Mardi Gras, so it wasn't totally losing your inhibitions. Although I will say, much to my 17-year-old son's like horror for a minute, we're standing out, and there was a gentleman on the balcony holding beads up. And I looked at my son. He goes, "Mom, don't you dare." And I walked over because I had been watching. And the gentleman was tossing beads to those of us who are past that time that we should be flashing the world. And he would just give us beads regardless. So I walked under and I smiled at him. And he threw me my beads without having me, you know, I didn't have to do anything to gain them, much to my young teenage boy's delight. Mom,
well,
don't you do it.
If you think New Orleans is interesting, you should go make a journey down to Key West.
I love Key West. I have been to Key West several times. I took the Boy Scouts there. We were taking the boys to Sea Base, and they were going on a sailing adventure. But we were there a day early, and I'm like, you boys have to A, Cuban sandwich, B, have conch fritters, C, see the Sunset Festival, D, see the fort and the iguana. So we are going to Key West. And so we took them, and they had a blast. They had a blast.
I love that city.
I love that city more. I'm more comfortable there. I guess because I've, you know, been in the Keys a bunch, and I, you know, I dove it. And so it's more comfortable for me. I've camped there, and I feel more at home there than I did in New Orleans. And I guess it's just because New Orleans is a big city. Key West is just fun.
But New Orleans is full of mystery and
yes,
history and things that people don't speak about.
There's a feeling there that there's mystery and something. It's in the air.
Oh yeah, it's thick with it. And you're feeling. Go ahead. What?
No, please, you go, please.
Well, I was going to say, you've got a dynamic of generations of Spanish and French, Indian, and English that all intermarried and interbred. So you have all of those, and the slaves from Africa and the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
and they all blended in this melting pot and created a culture that is absolutely amazing.
And completely different than what you're used to. And so,
yeah,
it's kind of culture shock, and it's that learning. Had I been able to spend more time there, and I think it rained a lot, so we were kind of not out as much as we wanted to, I think I would have been able to immerse myself and watch it more, but it was just so quick. And I will be honest too, you know, we drove in and we were talking to our son about, you know, when the hurricane came through and what the devastation there. And I was like looking, like, I think this is still remains. I mean, look, it's here and look what this has happened and look at the lives. And my son, of course, was very small when that happened and he doesn't remember. So we were showing him pictures of this is what these people had to deal with. And this is, you know, and then of course the homeless, and it was it broke my heart. It broke my heart. Although I will say this, it was a really good life lesson for my young son. Like, because he was seeing things that he doesn't normally see, and he's like, "Mom, sometimes just making the wrong choices can really make it really be detrimental." I'm like, "Yes, you're making those choices, but remember, you are in charge of your destiny. So making a wrong choice doesn't mean that you can't change your course."
Now, exactly.
There's also mental illness that people are dealing with and addiction, and I understand that. But for him to say, you know, let's make sure we make the right choices. Don't go down a path that you can't walk back up easily. And so that was good for him.
And the Ninth Ward is never recovered.
And I think that's when we were driving in. I don't know if that's what we saw, but there was an area that I'm like, this never got fixed. You know, and I knew
that was the ninth ward.
Yeah, gotcha.
I don't know.
It was heartbreaking.
We have a caller that called in to talk with us. Hello, caller. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Did you have a question for Lark?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I was just worried. Jewish.
Well, we lost
him. I'm sorry?
We lost him. His call dropped. Maybe he'll call back in. I don't know what happened. But that city is so drenched in history. You do know that Jean Lafitte, who was a pirate, who sailed in and out of New Orleans with his bounty, was the reason that the Battle of New Orleans was won by Andrew Jackson.
Oh, yes. I had read something, but I didn't get enough of it. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I knew he was there. I knew the pirate was there and that he was, you know, involved.
Well, what happened is Andrew Jackson was losing the war on that end, and unbeknownst to them, the war had already been declared over. And he enlisted Jean Lafitte to help him, with the caveat that Lafitte and all of his men would be absolved of any of their crimes. And because Lafitte knew the bayous and the swamps, that's how they won. Our caller is back, so let's see what he has to say. Hello, caller, we lost you.
Can you show?
Hello, caller. Yes, you have a question for Lark.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
All right. So there's this homeless guy, and he's asking me for food, but I can't give him the peanut butter because that's for my dog. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Do I give him the jelly?
You share it?
Okay.
I don't know about sharing.
Yeah, I think sharing might be the answer, and then you could move on with your dog.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay. That was interesting. That was interesting. We get those from time to time.
Welcome to teaching.
Yeah. So, but anyway, there is, if you ever go back to New Orleans, there is a bar called Jean Lafitte Blacksmith Bar. And it was it's his blacksmith shop, and it is supposedly haunted.
That's what we wanted to see, a lot of that. With a 17-year-old, of course, we couldn't go into the bars and see, you know, some of the places that we wanted to see. But yeah, we sort of got hold of some literature and we're snooping around some of the haunted places. We went for a walk at night and we're looking up at some of the buildings that were supposedly haunted. That really appeals to me a lot.
Well, you got to go back. You've got to go back to New Orleans and just soak it up.
We probably will. We went to some plantations and that was interesting and historical and fun. We probably will. My poor husband, the poor driver, when he said he wanted to find crawfish, and I said, well, let's drive through the bayous area. And we went through some small towns that looked like they had, you know, had seen prosperity at one point, but were, you know, slowly dying. But the homes were gorgeous and the live oaks were beautiful. We finally found the crawfish. He didn't realize we were only an hour from Texas. He's like, we should have just driven to Texas. Well, I sort of tried to tell him, but I didn't want him to, like, realize I'd taken him that far west before we started back to Cleveland. He's like, I could have been in Texas. So we'll go back.
Oh, that's too funny.
Our dream is, we keep talking. We went to the RV show today. It was so much fun. We talk about when we retire that we want to travel, maybe then just live, you know, for a while in our camper and travel and see places where we don't have to rush, because he's got to work. He doesn't get much time off. And, you know, I don't get much time off during this, you know, those times other than the summer. And so that's when we'll be able to do some of those things. But, yeah, we'll probably go back. I was being a protective mama bear with my 17-year-old, too. I have to admit it.
Well, it can get pretty rowdy. I'm glad you didn't go during Mardi Gras, because as rowdy as Key West gets with the Fantasy Fest and some of the other parades they have down there, Mardi Gras can get pretty, pretty risque. I know when I was a senior in high school, I was in the band, we marched in one of the Mardi Gras parades, and they were very, very, our chaperones were very protective of us.
I bet.
Of course, that was 50 years ago, and it was not as bad as it is now. But it gets pretty raunchy.
I got that impression. Yeah, I have friends who went during Mardi Gras, and I think I might be standing in a doorway, like sucking my thumb at that point. Take me out to the woods.
Yeah, it gets really, really crowded because it's a big money maker, and it's the floats alone are so impressive. And you've got parades going on 24/7 in different areas of the quarter at different times. And then you've got the main parade coming down Bourbon Street. And it's just, it's amazing. It's well worth it just to go just for the ambiance and just to get Ruby into Teardrops and Mardi Gras or something.
What a good idea. Yeah. We'll have to think about going back. There's so many other places I want to see. We were actually debating between New Orleans and Savannah. Because
that's another good city.
And that's what I understand. The way this all worked out is my husband had some time off, which is rare, and because our break didn't start till Christmas, we had 2 weeks after Christmas that we wanted to run away, basically. And so we did, and we were trying to figure out where to go. And I'm like, let's go camping. And my husband's like, I've been working outside. He's a project manager, supervisor for construction. He builds buildings. And they've been building one from the ground up, so he's been slogging in mud for months. He's like, I don't want to camp outside. Can we be normal? He says, can we be normal and stay like in a hotel and do normal stuff? And I'm like, I guess. Where do you want to go? And so we looked at where we took that sort of string, how far can we go from Cleveland and not drive more than 2 days? And it was Savannah or New Orleans. He goes, let's just do New Orleans. That would be fun. He's much more adventuresome than I am as far as cities go. And so that's where we ended up. Savannah really appealed to me, but he wanted to go to the old Absinthe house. I mean, that was his dream. So we made it there. And that's probably one of the things that got us to New Orleans was the fact that he wanted to go sit in the old Absinthe house and have Absinthe.
There you go, which is
apparently
good stuff. Now, when you go to Savannah, Savannah is another one of those cities that is steeped in history and mystery and ambiance, different cultures. And while it is deep south, it has its own culture about it. So
how is it different?
It because it's on the coast in the state of Georgia, and I'm from Georgia, and in the state of Georgia, each demographic has its own lingo, its own southern drawl, its own way of saying things, its own culture. Well, Savannah, because Savannah was a shipping port, it got not only the Southerners, it got a lot of other people that were in and out of the port. It's still truly Southern. It's just a different type of Southern.
Gotcha. So you have a whole lot of you know, different groups intermingling, again, like New Orleans, different culture, but the same idea. Gotcha.
Yes.
It sounds interesting and beautiful.
Oh, and you have to go because you've got plantations. Do you remember the book, the Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
Yes.
Okay. That picture of the little girl holding the water bowls on either side with the birds, the statue, remember her? She was in the main cemetery in downtown Savannah. They had to move her after the book came out and after the movie came out because people were going into that cemetery and trying to steal her.
You're kidding.
No.
Jeez.
Because she was so famous.
Right.
And the drag queen that's in that book is a real drag queen, and she has her own restaurant. In Savannah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
So you have to go now.
Oh, yeah, I do have to go.
See, you could do Teardrops and Savannah Adventures or something. I don't know.
So one of the cities that, and it's not really as much of a city like that, that I have enjoyed and have gone back several times because of the history and because of just that feel is Salem. I love Salem. I love
never
down
been.
By the wharf. You've never been to Salem?
No, that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, you have to. That when you stand in the cemetery where they have the dedicated stones and stuff to the people who were, you know, persecuted as witches, the feel, you can't describe the feeling in your heart. It's just crazy. And we took a candlelight ghost tour at night through Salem. That was spooky. It was fun. But it's a really neat place, and even cooler outside. And this is one of my favorite places that nobody seems to know about. Outside of Salem, in New Hampshire, not too far from Salem, is a place called America's Stonehenge. Have you ever heard of it?
Uh huh.
It's the coolest. It's just like spooky, weird place where you're on a mountain and there's these stone cairns that are, you know, marking the solstices, and there's this underground labyrinth like that had been underground of stonework, and there's a table with a trough carved around it where it looks like they did human sacrifices, and it's creepy.
Whoa.
And they don't know where it came from because it dates back. They think that it could have been, you know, people who were here before had crossed the ocean and come and done this, Vikings or Celts. They don't know, but it's got this. And where that table is, if you're standing out there, there's a place back in the rocks underground. If you whisper, it magnifies the voice over where the table is, the sacrificial table. Creepy.
And guess
place.
What? Mark, guess what? We are like 2 minutes out from being to the end of the show.
No. Oh, no.
You
got
to come back.
I will.
That's okay.
I will.
Okay. Real quick, tell the folks where you can be found.
I'm on Facebook, Lark Griffing. You can find me at www.larkgriffing.com. Facebook's probably the easiest way to get to me. And I also have a street team, if you're interested, called Lark's Perch. You can ask to join that group, and that's on Facebook. So Lark Griffing, L-A-R-K,
G-R-I-F-F-I-N-G. And her books are on Amazon. All of her books,
my books
on
are on
Amazon.
Amazon.
Go get
mm-hmm.
them. And you
yes,
will come
please.
Back so we can continue this conversation about all these wonderful places.
I will absolutely come back. I have so much fun with you.
Oh,
thank you for having me.
You are quite welcome. Thank you for joining us. Don't hang up when the show goes dark because, you know, I have to give you all these special instructions after. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and we will pick back up next Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time with Jay Traveler Pelton to see what she's been up to with her Oberlin family. Until then, remember this, we are all on a journey, and none of our journeys are perfect. Some of us have very difficult journeys. So when you're out and about, smile at the salesperson. Be kind to people in front of you in line. People that are driving in front of you, don't blow your horn at them. Be kind to them because you don't know what's going on in their lives. Also, if you want to achieve greatness, stop asking permission because nobody will give it to you. Teach your children that. Your children don't have to ask to be great because they already are. Encourage them to do great things, whether it's getting an A on a test, getting a C on a test. It doesn't matter. They're doing great things. Again, we want to thank Lark Griffin for being with us tonight. Check out her books, Teardrops and Rest Stops, Teardrops and Flip Flops, The Talisman, The Starfish Talisman. The last time I checked, I was still here. And watch for more great things from this beautiful, beautiful woman. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you Wednesday night here on Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and we wish you all a very, very good weekend. Stay safe, stay well, and love each other. We're off the air, but of course, everything I say now will show up in the archive part of the show, so people that listen to the archives will hear all this. But I wanted to tell you that when we get off and the show archives, I'll put the link up on my Facebook page, and I'm going to tag you in it, and then you just put it all over everywhere. Put it on your net, put it in your group, all over your network, on your website, and then when I put it up on the other podcast, I'll send the link to you as well, and you can have those to share too.
Thank you.
You
Thank
are
you
so
very
welcome.
Much.
The hour
so
just
fun.
Flew by. It flew by.
It did. I always get keyed up before, and I'm like, what am I going to talk about? It's going to take so long. And then it's like, it's over. You're so good at leading us through. You're so good at interviewing and getting the ball rolling. I appreciate it.
Well, I have to tell you a quick story. I did an interview yesterday for a magazine that I write for. The owners of the magazine are the And I Thought Ladies. They're good friends of mine. And they wanted me to interview this beautiful woman. Her name's Ruby Singleton Blakeney. She's out of Maryland. So I said, well, I talked to Ruby, and I said, I will call you at, I think, 4 o'clock. I had to call her at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, and I called her, and we talked for almost 2 hours. And I said, Ruby, you're not going to believe this. We've been talking for 2 hours. And she said, well, I was wondering when we were going to do my interview. I said, Ruby, I've been doing your interview for 2 hours. She said, what? I said, I have made notes. I said, and we've just had a conversation. I'm ready to write your interview. I'm ready to write the article.
That's wonderful. That's
what she said.
I
don't believe it. She said, and she says, Yvonne, I get interviewed all the time by people. She said, you're the best I've ever had.
You're very, very good.
So thank you for that.
No, thank you.
Well, I try to bring out the best in people and put them at ease, because when you do that, people are more willing to talk about anything.
Exactly.
And they're more willing to be relaxed.
So first of all, your voice relaxes me, because and you laugh and you take things in stride and you just roll with it, and that just makes it so much better. You know, you're not all keyed up and making your guests keyed up. That's very helpful.
Well, thank you. Well, I look at it this way. I've been on enough talk shows, been on enough television, done enough radio interviews, done enough public speaking, done enough live radio, that anything can happen. And you got to roll with it. There's no
That's
point.
Right.
You don't get upset about it. You just go with it.
And the thing is, it's the same as teaching. You know, you just have to roll. You know, things, the craziest things will happen, and you just go with
it.
Are you still looking for guest authors to come in on the program? Are you pretty well booked? Or?
No, I'm looking for guests for a few more for February, and then on out through the rest of the year.
Okay. My editor, J.C. Wing, she writes a romantic comedy series that's hysterical, and it's out there. It's about a woman, Frankie, who she's in a bra shop shopping for this certain bra, and she trips and falls into a fountain of Aphrodite and hits her head. And it turns out that she meets Aphrodite, Mama Goddess, and Mama Goddess is not a very nice person. And Frankie discovers that she has an ability to matchmake people, which makes Mama Goddess very angry, because that's the gods do that. That's Archer, Cupid Archer, his job. And Frankie has no business doing that, and she's a mere mortal. And so Mama Goddess decides to punish her with different things that goddesses do. It's so funny.
It sounds hysterical.
It's a great series. She's got 3 books out. She just released the last one, and she's working on the 4th in the series. So I don't know how comfortable she would be on the radio show, but I just keep thinking that she would be so much fun. And she's an editor, and so she, you know, she does a lot with the writing and with other authors, and she's got more than that. She's got other books out, but this series in particular, I think it would be fun for you to talk to her.
Of course, and this is what we can do, because I can. If you think she would see how I just threw that in there. If you think, and I think this would be an excellent idea because you already know her, why don't you say, I want you to go on this show and I will co-host with Yvonne and we'll just talk.
Oh my gosh, that could be so much fun.
Don't you think?
Oh, that could be so much fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right,
let's do it.
Talk to her.
Okay.
Let's see what we can do. See what we, yeah, I think that would be fun. All right.
And then you can add to your little quiver of arrows, co-hosted a radio show.
Funny you should say that with Archer. But
see how that just rolled right over there.
You are good. You can get people to do what you want, can't you?
Yes, I can. In fact, I have to tell you another quick story. My husband,
okay.
I told you, was a member of the Florida Senate, the Florida JCI Senate. And as we got back involved with the Senate, because my son's involved in it and he was running for president and all this, and as the, mm-hmm. the Senate got to know me, especially the men, they learned they don't tell me no.
That's right.
It's that Southern charm.
Yeah, and neither do my Boy Scouts.
See? Because we have this way about us of getting them to think it's their idea.
Yes, and we also expect it to happen, so therefore it shall.
Exactly. Oh, you're a woman after my own heart. So we shall expect this to happen, and in expecting it to happen, so will it be.
So will it be. Okay, I will contact her. And we'll,
all right,
we'll
darling, and
happen.
Let me know. And we'll make it happen.
All right.
It'll
sounds
be fun.
Like a plan.
All right, sweetheart.
All right, we'll be in contact.
And do me a favor, if you will.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Please tell your family thank you for sharing you with me for an hour. I know that y'all's time is limited, and I so much appreciate their sacrifice.
That's sweet. That's sweet. I will. Thank you. Thank you. And pet your dogs for me.
I will, darling, and we'll talk later.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.